Let's go ahead and get into that Ant-Man the Wasp. You know, a lot of people were hurt. A lot of people still reeling. A lot of people still crying. They said, man, that wasn't right what you did to that little spider boy over there in that Infinity War. You know, people still crying about Spider-Man, a few other folks. I ain't gonna spoil none, but let's just say, you know, things weren't looking too good for a lot of the heroes that appeared in that Infinity War. Thanos knocked a lot of people the fuck out in that. And a lot of people said, damn, boy, I'm depressed. Marvel, thank you for ruining my year. Marvel sat back and said, oh, no, man. We had to make everybody depressed so they could buy into something as stupid as a man who talks to ants.
With a pet ant.
They did it before.
A lot of people, you know, things have been so good. Because that man, you know, no pun intended, he literally is the one of the smaller heroes that are out there that nobody really thinks about. You know, sure. Once he's out the way, people ain't really thinking about him. You know, if he said some shit to like Iron Man or something, oh yeah, you're here. Even you remember when Iron Man is like, who are you?
Right.
What were you going to say? I'm sorry.
Oh, but he wasn't running around in the Infinity War either, so he was kind of forgotten about.
So the people said, look, man, he deserves his own movie now. Plus, y'all sad, y'all crying. Y'all need a palate cleanser right now. You need something to make you happy. So that's where they brought out Ant-Man, and this time got his partner, the Wasp, out there. Mm-hmm. And with this here, they're saying, yeah, it's a smaller movie, but you know what's going to make you smile, going to make you laugh. Remember how good part one made you feel? Well, we're going to bring that happiness back to you right now, and y'all could use it. Let's go ahead and take a look at the trailer for Ant-Man and the Wasp, and then we'll be back with our review.
So, how long have you been Ant-Man again?
Not long. It just sort of happened.
I wish I could fight bad guys like you.
I seem to mess it up almost every time.
Maybe you just need someone watching your back. Hi. Like a partner.
Dr. Pym, I actually heard what happened to you. You opened up the quantum realm. That's when this crazy creepy ghost who like walks through walls and stuff stole your tech. And now she wants to take over the world or whatever. Who would have believed that in your hour of need, you would turn to us?
Not me.
Because we robbed you. Do you remember? That's us.
The only chance we've got is both of you.
Ant-Man and the Wasp teaming up.
Follow my lead.
She seems more intense. Get loose now.
You go low, I'll go high.
I have wings. Why would I go low?
We're gonna die. I don't wanna die. We didn't die!
Hey, what'd I miss?
We were just tiny! It takes two to make a thing go
right. I was partners with Hank on a project called Goliath.
How big did you get?
My record, 21 feet. You?
65 feet.
65.
If you two are finished comparing sizes...
65.
Oh, look at you now. I see some of you out there. You're a little reluctant, man. I'm still hurt about that Spider-Man. You know, but you want to smile now. Look at you. Go on, let it out. Y'all like, all right, that's the Ant-Man I know. Good old Ant-Man right here. Now, here's the thing, though. That's the trailer. What about this movie here, though? And Martin, I'm going to tell you something. Now, Billy didn't see the movie, but I'm going to help you out because Billy saw that.
Look at this fucking ant playing the goddamn
Billy
drums.
Saw that ant playing them drums, and Billy said, man, what the fuck?
Come on, man.
Would it help you if I told you that's not really anything that
Well, you know what? We'll wait. We'll hold on.
No, help me because I can't think of any context.
Billy, I was the same way when I saw that. I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. Got this aunt playing a Guitar Hero and everything.
I'm just gonna say, if you don't tell me it's not part of the Muppet movie that just got inserted in there, I'm not sure if I'm.
I know. Marvin,
I can't say that.
We just got.
I know.
Billy, we just got off a really serious ass movie with Infinity where people crying, people talking about, oh, that's the most dramatic thing I've ever seen in a superhero movie. Now we got this goddamn ant over here playing these drums, looking like Animal from the Muppet Show. It's like you said. And now, let me help you out here, though. Now, here's the thing, Billy. You might look at that ant, and you might roll your eyes, but I'm going to tell you something. They kind of got the job halfway done of getting people to like the movie because they got Paul Rudd in here.
Everybody likes Paul
that's
Rudd.
That's the thing, man.
I love Paul Rudd.
Yeah. Exactly. You know when you know your movie has fucked up, when you cast Paul Rudd and it's still a failure. That's how bad your movie, because everybody likes Paul Rudd, man. Because Paul Rudd got that buddy face.
Yeah, he does.
You know, that face is like, man, you my buddy. And he's like, oh, I know.
Come on, okay. Let's go get a beer.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Oh, my buddy. Oh, I don't know you, but okay. You know, if Paul Rudd is in your movie, and your movie is halfway decent, then you've kind of got the job halfway done. There have been movies that Paul Rudd's been like anybody. He's made movies that are bad.
Sure.
And people even came out and they said, damn, I wish that movie wasn't a piece of shit because
I like Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
I want him, dead body?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. See? I want that to be good because Paul Rudd is my boy, my buddy. Mm-hmm. But if you put Paul Rudd in a movie, man, you kind of got the job halfway done if you're not a complete failure. Because the thing is, he's extremely likable. And in this movie, he's even more likable. Because if you remember from the last movie, Scott Lang as Ant-Man, he's a father in that movie. And this, to see him with his daughter and how sweet he interacts with this girl, it just makes you adore the guy. And it's kind of goofy at first when they do it. But then you realize that Scott Lang has been under house arrest.
Yeah, for 2 years, ever since Civil War.
For 2 years.
Because he builds this such elaborate play scenario for him and his daughter. You're like, man, how you find time to do all that? Oh, you've been stuck in the house with nothing else to do.
I said that too. I said, you don't get your grown ass up and quit doing it. I was like, oh, house arrest, 2 years. I'm like, I'd be doing the same thing. So because you look at this, all you dads out there, don't feel bad because now that I think about it,
I was kind of mad at first.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, there's no way you don't have time to do all that shit.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, oh, all right.
No,
you got nothing but time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like, you know what? No, he's a good dad because he ain't got nothing else to do.
Right.
Otherwise, he'd be a deadbeat like the rest of y'all out there, because you forget he's a criminal.
Yeah.
So he ain't the best dad in the world unless he's under arrest.
House arrest.
Yeah. Yeah, unless his ass is locked up and bored. Oh, okay, I guess I'll be a good dad today.
You know what, baby? Don't worry about it. I ain't going to leave today. I'm going to spend all day with you.
Daddy ain't going nowhere for the next hour. Wait,
what's that beeping? Daddy don't worry about it.
2 years. Yeah. Daddy got about 6 more months. He's going to be a good father. But while he is, it really is. It's nice to see.
Sure. Yeah. And he's even reached a point where his ex-wife and her new husband don't have any animosity.
Yeah, Bobby Cannavale and
Judy Greer.
Judy Greer. Yeah, yeah. This is something where they've already set the tone at the beginning that this is like the first one. This is kind of a silly film. And it's sillier than the first, you know, because as we were saying just a little while ago, you know, it's gone from a guy that talks to ants, that flies on ants, to ants playing drums. And saying, hit it!
You know, the funny thing is, they do come up with a reason for that.
Well, I'd love to hear it sometime.
Yeah, you know, but even then...
Not now, man. I know it's a spoiler.
But even with the rest of the movie, the concept is that they've trained ants to do all these things. And I mean, even by Marvel standards,
it stretches.
It stretches. Maybe even by Marvel standards, it's dumb. I ain't gonna... You know, I can't lie.
It's weird because I felt like the whole premise of the training the ants to do stuff so he can move around.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you know what? This is actually working. It's just that one scene right there where it's like, that's a bridge too far.
That's a little bit of a stretch. I was like, it's not just like they have ants that they train to like carry things, you know, do switch buttons maybe.
Fine.
But you got to sit down You know, you just can't pick up the drums and start playing.
That's what I'm saying. It's like next thing you'll see the amp with a little green hat doing the taxes.
Yeah.
With an ad machine. And, I mean, shit. Come on. That's way past Oz, man. Come on.
Yeah,
now.
You might as well have her aunt run for president or some shit, you know?
Well, so it couldn't be worse.
It could not. But see, that's the thing. Even by Marvel standards, this is dumb. And Marvel has to sit back and say, like, Marvel's like, look, we have done some crazy shit. But this is the stupidest thing that we have ever done. It's almost like Marvel has a point to prove. Marvel is saying, you know what? This is dumb as fuck. And we still gonna put it out there and make money by it. Y'all going to see Ant-Man.
You know. The thing about it is, he knew how much I was gonna hate that. Cause I'm sitting there watching the trailer and Corey's watching the whole time. Uh-huh. As soon as that drum scene came on, he was
I said, Billy, here you go, man. Let me throw it to you.
He knew I was going to hate that shit.
Oh, yeah.
He knows I can't stand shit like that.
No, man. You know,
oh, God.
This is dumb, man. This is dumb. I ain't going to lie. And it gets dumber here. If you thought the first Ant-Man was dumb, well, guess what? You had a scoop before. Now you getting a whole gallon. Stupid ice cream right now. But the thing is, this is a great example of Marvel putting something out there that is silly. Some people may even go as far as say stupid. But you know something? Marvel does a great job with tone and balance. You know, with this, Marvel knows how to balance its tone. They keep things consistent. You know, it's going to ridiculous levels, but they commit. You know, you're going to be stupid. You know, commit to it. Keep your tone going on. It's almost as if with this movie, they said, look, this is a comedy. It does get silly, but as long as we can keep people smiling, not even laughing out loud, as long as we can keep people smiling throughout the film, then we've done our job at keeping a consistent tone. And Marvel has done that with a lot of their movies.
That is the thing about it. It is consistent. There's no point where you go, oh, well, they tried and they failed. It's like, no.
Yeah.
It's another one where it set its bar right there, and it stuck to what it wanted to do.
Yeah. You know, I hate to tell you this, man, but they do so many stupid things. They prep you. By the time you get to that ant playing those drums, you're like, okay.
I'm showing it, man. I can't keep a straight face. It's so goddamn ridiculous.
Billy, I got a beat for you.
And he's going for it, yeah. Too. I think I was like, you gotta be shitting me.
Yeah.
And still, even if you do teach an ant to play the drums, why is the ant playing the drums? That's what I want to know. Yeah. I know you can't tell me
don't,
right
we
now.
Can't tell no, you, no, but don't worry.
There actually is a reason for it.
That's what I'm talking about with the tones and everything, man. They say, you know, the thing is, you will laugh at this, man. You will smile. There are so many things that happen where it fits.
Yeah.
Now, it's the key thing of being goofy with something, being silly, or being even a horror film, is like, stick to what you created. Stick to your tone that you've set out there. If you do that, you can get away with a lot of things that you normally would question. You know, like I said, if we were watching Get Out and they walked into a room, we saw that shit right there. That would be stupid, you know. But with this, it's like, it's okay. And here's the other thing, man. It's the direction in this movie with the special effects. It's great. You know, one of the things that happened with the first Ant-Man is that it was, and that they do here, is like it rises above a lot of special effects in comedies and action comedies and in action films, period, because it's not that the effects necessarily look better, it's that the effects actually do serve a purpose every time, other than just trying to have spectacle or explosions or something like that. When you watch this, they get really creative with the special effects. You know, when you look at this, it's meant to make you laugh, and that's what it does. A lot of this make you laugh. And you will laugh at the dumbest things in this, because things aren't normal size, you're gonna laugh at it, because they do make a chance of, again, going back to that goofy tone. Listen, you know, you see a giant Hello Kitty used as a weapon.
Yeah, Pez dispenser.
A Pez dispenser. Hello Kitty's Pez dispenser. That is funny when you have a giant Hello Kitty that's about to kill a man. If you get killed by a giant Hello Kitty, that's funny. I don't care how grotesque or tragic it is. Martin, if I see you get killed by Hello Kitty, I'm laughing.
Well, one of the things about the movie is, as absurd as it can be, mm-hmm. especially when they break to show you the perspective of what it looks like from a different angle,
mm-hmm.
the action sequences are all really well choreographed. I mean, mm-hmm. you think, you know, how can two superheroes who can be this size, okay, and you can grow normal size, big deal. But they really make the most of it. Like, you can tell they spend a lot of time working out how to make this look cool and how effective they can be.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun watching that, man, just how creative they get with making things shrink and then they make things grow large. I mean, like I said, I'm laughing at dumb things aren't even necessarily all that funny. Like when they had that salt shaker right there. You know, when that salt shaker gets high, gets big like that, I'm just laughing my ass off. Because why? Just because it's a big-ass salt mm-hmm. shaker. You know, no particular reason other than that. I mean, but that's the other thing with the movie. It's kind of a blessing and a curse with this. In this film, if it ain't shrinking or if it ain't growing, man, a whole lot going on, really. I know there's a dick joke somewhere in there, but I just thought of that, like, we ain't going there.
Here it is.
Yeah. No, what I mean by that, when I say not a lot going on, I'm not, a lot of the imagination in this movie is with all of the things that are changing size. A lot of it is with the goofy humor that is in here. A lot of it is with Paul Rudd. You know, he's still selling the movie as Ant-Man himself, Scott Lang. But, you know, it's the humor sometimes feels like it's from a sitcom.
Yeah.
It doesn't always work. And that affects the film, man. It makes the film at times feel like it's something that belongs on television, even though they have a lot of money that has gone into this. And that's too bad because, you know, you got a lot of things here where it is extremely funny, but it's always with the size. Like when you see, you know, Scott Lang as big as a truck and he's using it like a toy or a kid with a skateboard or a scooter. You know, that is funny. They have a scene where Scott Lang is like a little boy, you know, running through elementary school. And it's funny, man.
Yeah, it is.
But when they start getting to some of the writing, when you actually have dialogue, a lot of that is dependent on, and I'll tell you why, because a lot of it is dependent on reaction shots. You know, and they don't know how to end a joke sometimes. You start out with a running gag with some dialogue, and it's not that funny to begin with. A lot of movies would know, and this is with the direction and the editing that we're going to talk about here. A lot of movies would know, okay, you know what? This is not really going anywhere. Cut that shit.
Yeah, right. Cut your losses.
Move
on to the next thing.
I just edit. Editing ain't never been as easy, man.
Yeah.
It's just the push of a button. Not this movie. They keep going. And they say, you know, no, keep it going. And you know how we're going to cover that up? By occasionally showing you, like, somebody just looking at the camera and going,
I don't know. Oh, I hate shit like that. Him.
Like, who would have thought that once again, in your hour of need, that you would turn to us, you know?
That mean.
Help yourself.
Hey, what's up with the fancy pastry? We gotta keep the food budget down.
Well, what are we supposed to have for breakfast?
The oatmeal packets.
Oatmeal packets?
It's insult.
Why is it an insult?
Because it tastes like sand.
You know why? It's because it's organic.
No, it's not organic. It's sand.
It's the most important meal of the day.
You know what? You can get creative with it.
Break teeth.
Put a little brown sugar on it. You can put some cinnamon. Put a little honey.
Guys, come on, man.
He's the editor.
We got bigger fish to fry.
Yes, yeah, Paul Rudd is like, no, they got to hear my shit.
Yeah.
What? Why do I have such a small desk?
Well, because you weren't there when we were choosing desks.
You snooze, you lose.
Well, I was under house arrest.
Yeah.
You know what? This isn't even a desk. This is garbage. You found this outside amongst garbage.
I got it at a rummage sale.
So you save money on my desk?
Guys!
Hope, please. We need to focus, all right? We got to find that lab already. Jeez.
That didn't even end with people reacting anymore. They were just making faces.
Yeah. Just orating. And also, I'll tell you like this, man. From the first movie, those three stooges got on my goddamn nerves the first movie.
Oh, yeah.
What was it? Manny Moe and Jack. Yeah. I mean, Michael Pena and the other dude and T.I. or Tip.
The action, the writing is just, sometimes it's funny, sometimes not. That pun that they had right there, that's a sitcom pun going
on. Guys.
Hope. Please, we need to focus, all right? We got to find that lab already. Jeez.
We got to find that lab already. You know, he lifted that shit like, exactly, Martin. That's some vaudeville shit. They should have ended that shit with, like, Iris out. I don't know. Come on, man.
Our show has been canceled.
I know.
After the pilot.
Come on, y'all are better than this, man.
Yeah. They have been better.
Yo, Martin keeps going back more. Yo, man, the thing again. Okay, think about this new one is. She's got to understand this. And then suddenly, once in a while, you'll be like, yeah, nah, fuck it. You're
yeah,
right.
Fuck yeah, it, man. Even Paul Rudd, then he's like, fuck, did I just say this?
Yeah, even he was like,
Jesus.
And I insisted on having this scene in there, too.
That's the day he walked off the set for about a week and came back.
Yeah.
He said, look, goddamn, we just get to work. Let's focus now. And they were like, all right, let's keep it in. He's owning it right now. Let's go ahead. That was him off set. Just
talking. No.
Y'all and everybody else. Come on, y'all.
Yeah. Come on, y'all.
Shit together.
Come on. You know, and that's the thing about it, man. You said you don't like those Three Stooges out there. We're talking about Michael Pena, T.I., and the other guy that nobody ever knows.
The dude from Batman.
But from Batman, that's where he's from. I actually like these guys better here. They have actually some jokes that actually gave me a good chuckle in there, man. And there's even one running gag they had in the last movie that they do here that they don't go too far with. That I thought, like, okay, you do that once, it's funny. I thought it was all right. More like bullshit.
I didn't hate these guys. It wasn't like every time they came on, I was cringing. Because they still have some likability, but I liked them better in the first movie.
You did? Yeah. See, I did not. Cause it's mostly Michael Pena. I couldn't stand him in the first movie.
I liked him so much better in the first movie.
Really?
Yeah, because he was more, I don't know, he was more animated. There was a lot more to him. And now this time it felt like, well, we had him around the first time, so we got to put him in now and have him say stuff. And he was, he just wasn't as inspired. He didn't make me laugh as much. He felt more forced this time around.
Well, there you go. There's our first disagreement right there. He's pro Pena. I'm not.
Yeah, with the first one, I felt like he was really written in as an integral part of what was going on. And this time I felt like he was there to ad lib.
I tell you, there is a joke in here. And I'm going to tell you something. It has to do with Henchman, one of the bad guys, played by Walter Goggins.
Walton Goggins.
Walton Goggins. Yeah, there's a joke in there with them. And yeah, from The Shield. Thank you.
Both of them were from The Shield.
Pena was played his partner in The Shield.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
That's right.
Well, I tell you, man, there's a joke in there with them where they're trying to they're about to torture Michael Pena, and it was funny.
Was funny.
I didn't laugh like that. I'm telling you, that joke had me laughing so hard in this movie. And that joke, and Michael Pena did not make me laugh in the first one like he did in that scene in this movie right here.
Oh, there was times he did. Because they repeat that joke of him telling a story and them filming the whole thing that he's talking about with people talking in his voice that I thought really worked well the first time. And this time I was like, all right, y'all just doing this again.
I thought that worked well.
But the thing you're talking about with the torture, that was funny.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that was one of the things where I never disliked these guys here. Mm-hmm. I just felt like, especially Michael Pena, I wasn't as excited about him this time around. Where it's like, well, you had to put him in.
Yeah, I even like T.I. better than this.
You know what?
Like
also, with that torture scene with those henchmen, one of them was that weird looking Indian guy from Lion who played the brother with mental issues.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, it's this here is you know. So I'm speaking of the goofiness in this, in slapstick, they even do things in here where, this is a personal thing with me. I don't like movies where people get hit with objects that would not normally hurt you that bad and they get knocked out. You know, I always hated movies where somebody gets a flower pot that's, you know, that shatters real easy, and when they do that people are like, oh, they knock out.
But that cake cart in Tower Heist.
Yeah, yeah.
She,
you know,
knocks them out with that cake cart.
Yeah. You know, there's things in movies where they hit people with like normal objects and they knock out, and that's what they do here. And I'm like, you know what, that's I don't care how goofy this movie is, I don't like it. No. You know, even a guy like, duh.
To me, it's slapstick in as much as those things would not only knock you out, it'd probably fracture your skull.
See, that was a shallow-ass pot. And that dude that ran into that salt shaker, you can see him just laid out on the floor. Just what action's going on. I was like, damn, brother, I hate for you to walk into a glass door. You'd be on the ground all night. You know, sometimes for me personally, it gets a little too goofy. And that's why I thought, like, okay, they're not, they're, they're, It's the goofiness that they're trying to rely on this movie to carry it, and sometimes it just doesn't work because, for one thing, it just doesn't. I feel it just doesn't have a whole lot of style. It's that sitcom thing that's going on with this movie here that's making it seem bland in some parts to me. The reason I'm gonna let you follow up with this, Martin. The reason why I say that is because I know that this isn't one of their big flagship movies right here. But if you look at a movie that is extremely goofy, extremely silly, and yet somehow was loved by a lot of people, is Thor Ragnarok. Because Thor Ragnarok, it reflects the vision of the director. It's just not, we're just gonna write a bunch of funny jokes. You know, not only is this a silly comedy, but it's almost like pop art in a way. And it is something like you've never seen with the rest of the Marvel Universe. I thought, all right, I don't expect this movie to go in there and change anything, but I do expect it to have a little more of an identity in there.
Well, the thing with Thor Ragnarok, besides having a director who had such vision, is that if you strip all the jokes away, it's still a pretty good, serious movie.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as the story goes.
Yeah.
But then you also have the extreme humor that's willing to, you know, it's brave enough to be goofy at times, mm-hmm. and yet still restrained to not blow past what the movie is. But yeah, and the art direction was so good.
Mm-hmm.
And this time around, there's the sitcom-y humor, but the story itself, when you take the humor away, it's really nothing special.
That's it.
I mean, you got two villains, and they're both pretty much cliches. I mean, one's just a guy with henchmen, and then the other ghost with this story that links back to one of the characters. It's like, man, we've seen this 200,000 times already.
See that,
and it's one of these where, you know what? If you were to settle down and just have a conversation with this person, this conflict would be over.
It'd be done. Yeah, I'll come back to that in a little bit because I'm not even asking for
it. Right,
because some people are like, well, man, look, you know, this movie didn't have Thor Ragnarok money.
No, of course not.
And you know what? It didn't even have Spider-Man money, but Spider-Man did one thing that it was very good. Spider-Man Homecoming. Spider-Man Homecoming took, some of this took place in Queens. And it dealt with, like, this hero dealing with regular people. And even the regular people were given scenes with better writing, better dialogue. And that's, you know, I'm not asking for anything to have a big special effects budget or art direction budget. I'm talking about just make these characters just have a little more inspired dialogue and personalities.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the director's Peyton Reed, who even when he did the first Ant-Man, people were saying, like, yeah, that guy, he's pretty mediocre. He's nothing special.
Mm-hmm.
I still like the first Ant-Man much better, and I don't know if it's because it was an origin story or just because some of what Edgar Wright had started was still around.
Yeah, that's curious, because I don't know what Edgar Wright did that was still around. So it's, you know, some of those things are lost on me, but I would tell you that it's let me just say this. If something like Thor is pop art, then, you know, this movie here is like a Disney Channel TV movie. And I'm not saying in budget.
It's not quite that quality, but comparison wise.
And just like I said, in tone.
Yeah.
And that tone that's carrying this movie so well, it makes you accept the amp playing the drums. It's also the same tone that never rises above any kind of special level here.
Yeah, but for all that happens, I don't think anybody dies in it.
That's another thing. It's a lighter film. And so that actually can benefit it. I mean, being as a lighter film, they're able to just go in and do certain things and that they can have fun with. Like, the actors can have a little bit more fun, even poking fun at themselves. Michael Douglas is Hank Pym in here. You know,
I just love Michael Douglas in everything. Now when he's old and cranky. I mean, the few scenes he got where he got to talk, I laughed out loud.
Oh, I did too.
Just him being pissed off.
Because Michael Douglas, here's the thing. Michael Douglas is still a professional. Michael Douglas, he's, you know, right here, he's aware of what he's in. He doesn't take it too seriously, but at the same time, he doesn't turn his nose up at it. You know, doesn't act like he's better than material. He just kind of like, you know, I'm gonna take this Marvel money, I'm gonna shut the fuck up.
Right, and do my job. Yeah.
And do my job. You know, he's like, this ain't the 80s where I was fucking half of Hollywood. Shit, man, I need a pension now. You know, my man said, let me shut the fuck up, man. I'm old now, you know. Get this job. And the thing about it is they respect Michael Douglas. They still sit back and let him talk a little bit of shit.
Oh, yeah.
Because Michael Douglas, he's like, I'm aware of what I am. Now, y'all gotta let me say something, let these people know. I was a pimp at one time.
Yeah. Because he's talking about he got throat cancer from giving too much head.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Oh, I know.
That's what he said. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah, they said right here. They like Marvel, they let him, because he says, you know, damn, I used to be a player back in the day, and now I'm in this shit. I'm in Ant-Man. There's a point where they kind of let him crack a joke like that. Mm. And, you know, to let him be Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
You know, don't come in here and take this shit seriously. You be you, man. Be mad at everybody.
He was talking shit the first one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. He sure was. He sure was, man. And I'm going to tell you, speaking of Michael Douglas and older people in this movie, man, it is so funny looking at Lawrence Fishburne in here. Because Lawrence Fishburne don't give a fuck either. These are two dudes just out to get paid. And the funny thing about it is, like, they don't give a fuck together, so it's good when you see their characters, so they hate each other.
Yeah. Mm. And used to be friends, now they hate each other.
Oh. And Lawrence Fishburne, they talk about how they have not seen each other for a long time. They hate each other. And Lawrence Fishburne is so happy to see him just so he can talk more shit. he's so happy. And the other one is Michael Douglas, man. Michael Douglas, it just... He's great with this because that hate just comes out of his eyes out of his eyes right. He just looks at him like, you black motherfucker.
Get your black ass out the house.
Yeah. You black gap tooth motherfucker. You bitch.
you black Marvel DC bitch.
Yeah.
Another one you're trying to go on both sides, huh?
Yeah, he's like, shit, I'm only getting one check. You getting DC and Marvel checks? But nah, man, and Evangeline Lilly in this, you know,
fine.
She's fine, man. And it's, you know, and like I said, that's one of the things that disappointed me about some of this too, about the movie just being all about reaction shots, because she's that's what she's there. She's usually there. You know, look at like right here. That's what she does. She's usually there just to react to Paul Rudd's, you know, wise cracking ass, like, okay, well, you know how he is. You know.
She coming to frog now too.
Yeah, look at him.
You know, he is.
She's pissy through most of it.
But I would tell you though,
what her character's supposed to be.
Right.
That's what her character's supposed to be, and actually,
and you can't blame her.
No, I mean that's what they try to.
All these knuckleheads.
Yeah, that's what they try to reduce her to. You know. As somebody who is just there to react.
They always make the female character disapproving of everything, a killjoy.
That's what it is.
In movies all the time.
I get tired of that, though.
Yeah. Like, the Neighbors was one of the first movies to not do that.
Yeah.
Okay, and, yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Because Rose Byrne, she's on board pretty much the whole time.
Yeah, and looking at this, you know, you see she's on her own, she's nothing amazing, but they, you know, she does... She is good as a sidekick and is good as a balancing anchor.
Well, she's not even a sidekick
to Paul Rudd
because it's more like she's the one who's like, this is how you do this shit.
Yeah.
If you weren't so goofy, you could do this with me.
Oh, no, she does.
Don't take my word for it.
I hate to say it, but you know what? It ain't no feminist shit. You know, Paul Rudd is so stupid. Like, he needs somebody like her. Like, right. Son of your goddamn ass there. And you know what? And the only thing I feel bad about with her is that they just put her in here to like react only when her mother is mentioned. You know, her mother played by Michelle Pfeiffer here, who was in the movie just a little bit. Michelle Pfeiffer's in this. Yeah. She's usually, you know, in it with a bunch of CG on her face and whatnot. But you know, she's not giving a whole lot of depth, but she's good in the film. And you mentioned the character of Ghost. I will say this. We're talking about the story. You strip a lot of things away. That's not much there. Marvel has been very proactive and conscious about trying to make their villains have a little more dimension to them. And the character of Ghost here, who's played by... Do you know the actress who plays this this character here?
No, I don't, but she looked like she'd be somebody from Dorne on Game of Thrones.
I think it's Hannah John Common.
Oh, yeah.
That plays her. And... The thing with her is that...
Here's the thing about her.
What's up?
When they show when she was young, she was a little black girl, and somehow she grew into whatever that is. Seriously.
You're like, whatever mutant this is.
She does not appear to be an African-American woman.
No. You know, I can actually see it. When I looked at it, I saw it. I've seen biracial kids that look like that.
Sure, but when she was... The actress they had play her when she's young looked very much black.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I wasn't paying attention. That didn't stand out to me too much.
I was like, well, they call her Ghost, all right.
Yeah. Well, I tell you,
whoever played her, kids are ghosts now.
Oh yeah. No, with this character here, it's she's better than somebody they had like in the first one, who was like Corey Stoll as Yellow Jacket. You know, that character was just a straight up villain. You know, with this character,
he was, but I love Corey Stoll.
Yeah,
he
me
was
too.
Good.
I love the Sorry, actor, but too. I don't like the villain. I was like, it even made me more upset. I was like, you know what? You got this character here who's played by a great actor. You're not doing anything with it. You know, with this character here, you're like, all right, you know something? Whatever her motives are, you understand. And you almost, and like a lot of villains today, you just kind of like, well, you know, that's fucked up, but I don't blame you. You know, it's like, and even her character puts the audience in a tough position. It's like, yeah, this thing will happen right here, but then, you know, I get this point right here too. I do like that character. It seemed to be the one that actually seemed to be the most developed. She's not even in the movie that much.
Is it like Killmonger and
I want to say exactly. It is like Killmonger in the sense that it's what you're doing is I'm not going to approve of, but I get where you're coming from.
That's kind of how I felt with Killmonger though.
And then that's the case here. Then
yeah,
that's, I can see it with this character here.
It's my opinion. I was like, damn, nigga, what you're doing is fucked up. But I do understand.
And they're kind of doing this with a lot of characters. I mean, Thanos, she feels the same way and whatnot. So even with a minor character like this, you're kind of like, all right, you know what? They're trying. I applaud them for doing that with a pretty much a D-list villain right here. So, you know, Martin, but what do you think? I'm about to wrap up my review. I'll give you.
I wasn't so much with Ghost and her motivation and all that. Like I said, a conversation could have settled a lot of that. But but it's weird. It's one of these things. I when I came out of it, I was like, this is another situation like Solo, where, you know what, for all that's going on, it's still a likable movie. It's just not trying very hard. It's not trying to be great, so that's why it never achieves greatness. But I was never bored, and I liked the actors and the characters and the action sequences and the special effects. It's just some of the writing, especially with the jokes and how slapsticky it was.
Yeah.
And it was just that feeling of like, man, I wish they'd switch to a better director or just put some more effort into it.
Yeah.
For what they had. I mean, I get it. They just did Black Panther and Infinity War. Hey, they deserve a rest. They deserve to just coast for a little bit. They can do that. But it would have been nice to have something, just one more for the year that you got charged about.
Yeah.
But it's also something about the timing of this movie, because it takes place in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
and it seems to be happening at the same time as Infinity War. And I don't see how, I know it's San Francisco, but you would think TVs would still be everywhere. It's like, holy shit, aliens, a giant alien ship is mm-hmm. here right now. And there's no mention of it. And it just feels like...
Well, you know what? There's an explanation for that. I don't want to get into it because I don't want to spoil anything.
Sure.
But I saw what you're talking about. There is a reason for that.
Okay.
All yeah. Right. No, there is.
Okay. It's just how the movie ends. I thought if this had come out before Infinity War, it would have been a great teaser for it. As opposed to being the thing like, oh, this is where you do the tie-in.
Okay.
And comic books do that all the time when they have giant events where you read your comic and it says, oh, tie-in to Fear Itself, and then you get it, and it's one page that talks about it, and it moves on with its own story.
Yeah. Well,
it's one of those movies where, you know, it's likable.
So what'd you rate it?
Oh, I still like the first Ant-Man better. It's kind of a low matinee for me.
Okay. All right, then. Let me tell you something before I get my review and wrap up right here. I'm going to do something that is very much a spoiler, but it's not. I'm going to save you some time. I will do that after my wrap up. If you want to hear what it is, that's fine. It's not going to spoil anything for you. It will save you some time.
Yeah.
I'll be doing you a favor. Trust me.
Okay.
Trust me.
I think I know what he's talking about.
If anybody needs to listen, it's you, Billy. But a lot of things out here.
What'd you say?
Yeah. Who? How? What? Where? But yeah, man. Stick around if you want to. But it's not a spoiler. But it's something I'm gonna save you some time on.
All right.
But this is exactly what Martin says, man. It's just a light, cute film, and there's something about. Listen, I will put it this way. You're not aiming for greatness, so I'm not gonna give you a great rating. You know, you're gonna get what you earn here, and it is the you know, Martin is using the word that's gonna be in the popular word here tonight, which is likable. It's nothing that you can tell by looking at it that they went out with the intentions of making this one of their lighter films. That was the plan from the very beginning. I don't ever think that should be an excuse, because while you can be light. You can be a lesser film as far as, you know, spectacle goes, but you can also have sharper writing. And, you know, we've seen that with a lot of movies today where they don't have a whole lot. And that's why we say, man, you're great because you worked with what you had here. Like I said, this is a sitcom. It's a high priced sitcom that just aspires to do a little bit more than what you see on TV. Doesn't mean I hate it. I'm not even mad about it. I know exactly what I'm walking into, especially after seeing the first one. So that's why I give this. I'm same with you, Martin. I give it a low matinee because the matinee part comes in. They're lucky. They have a lot of special effects in here with the growing and the shrinking, because that's the most imaginative thing about this movie.
Right.
And when they actually go all out with that, it's incredible.
Yeah.
It really is.
And they take you to the quantum world, and they do a great job with that.
Yeah. When they're hitting on all cylinders, they don't fail to entertain. So that's why I give it a low matinee. Nothing great, nothing to rush out and see. But when you're watching it, it's like, all right, I had a good time. You know, a small good time, but a good time.
I mean, honestly, it's one of their lower movies, I would say. I mean, it's above the ones I think that I don't like Iron Man 2 or Thor 2, but it doesn't rise above much anything else.
Yeah. Now, please, don't get mad. Don't run. This seems like a spoiler, but I'm going to save you. Uh-oh. Sometime. Don't go anywhere. Now here's the dip. Carlos, Carlos, I'm telling you, you're gonna be all right. Carlos, I'm about to do you a solid, man. There are two stingers to this movie, and believe me, by one of them, you get stung right on your ass. Let me tell you, the first one, stick around for.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, yeah. That's what you've been sitting there for.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. Life is precious. Do not waste it sitting down, waiting for those credits to roll to get this last stinger. I am going to show you exactly what the stinger is, and believe me, you're going to thank me. Now, if you go to the theater, you sit there for the next 15 minutes waiting for those credits to roll, waiting for what's the big stinger going to be? What's it going to relate to next? Your last stinger is this. That is it right there. I just showed you what it is.
No, that's what I was saying. It doesn't really affect the movie unless you stick around for the stinger.
No, please.
Which I would have if I seen it.
I just saved y'all some time. You right here looking at these ants, looking at this ant, play these drums right here. Like I said, that ant stung you right in your ass. You do not need to stick around. That is it. Get a good dose of it. Suck him in. Love him. Love this ant, because that's what you're getting at the end of this movie. Right? You do not have to go.
Yeah, there's no reason to stick around. Spend your money, have a good time, watch the first stinger.
Yeah,
go on about your life,
and then get your ass up and go home. And if you really want this ant, then go pull up the trailer online and just look at him right here. You don't need to do anything else. Billy, there you go.
Yeah. Who's your best friend?
I know you both. You. It's one of those things I hated so much. It keeps making me laugh when I think about it.
I know.
I'm saying, Corey, stop bringing up that fucking
Chad, unless that ant is fighting with Thanos in the next episode, you know, you do not need to see this. Chad, I'm telling you, is the chat thanking me? I'm telling you, man. There's spoilers. Talking about spoilers, yeah. Motherfucker. Wait, look. If you want to stay and watch that shit after I told you, then your brain is spoiled. You go right ahead. Get loose now.
You go low, I go high.
I have wings. Why would I go low?
We're gonna die. I don't wanna die.